Amen. Well, today I'm doing a message called Genuine Relationship. I believe it's the last message in this series of cultivating a spiritual awareness. As we're talking this morning, I'll just start out by sharing a couple of things that we have covered over the past few weeks. I've shared with you that this is more about relationship than it is about knowledge. When we're talking about spiritual awareness, we're talking about a relationship with the Lord. We're not just talking about having a knowledge of details or facts or even simply a knowledge of the Word. You know, a person can be a scholar concerning the Word of God and still not have a relationship with the Lord. It's good to have knowledge of the Word. I'm not downplaying that at all. But it's more than that. It's about relationship. And we've talked about that regarding our witness, to have an effective witness, to be an effective witness. Remember what was said about Paul and John, or Peter and John, where they were ordinary men, not trained in the Scriptures, but they had been with Jesus. And people took note of that. They saw the wisdom that they spoke with, and that was the result of them having been with Jesus, their relationship with Him. Also, last week when we talked about the forces of darkness, we realized that our authority over forces of darkness is a result of relationship, not knowledge. Remember the seven sons of Sceva who were attempting to cast out an evil spirit in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Excuse me. And the spirit in that man said, "I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you?" In other words, they had no relationship with Jesus. They were just trying to use His name as like a charm or an incantation, and it didn't work because they had no relationship. Also, we see in the Scripture where it says, "Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee." The devil's not going to flee. He's not going to fear you at all unless you're first submitting to God. And that means a relationship. You have a relationship with Him. So it's more, sorry, that cracker is affecting my vocal cords. Every once in a while I think, whatever is happening, it just pardon my expressions of weirdness. But maybe a drink of water would help. I'll try that here. Down you go, little crumbs. So, Where'd it go? Okay, so anyway, we're talking about it being more about relationship than about knowledge. And I would like you to turn with me then to 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 5 through 14. And we're going to examine ourselves, as it says in here, to see if we are in a genuine relationship with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and starting with verse 5. "Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. As you test yourselves, I hope you will recognize that we have not failed the test of apostolic authority. We pray to God that you will not do what is wrong by refusing our correction. I hope we won't need to demonstrate our authority when we arrive. Do the right thing before we come, even if that makes it look like we have failed to demonstrate our authority. For we cannot oppose the truth, but must always stand for the truth. We are glad to seem weak if it helps show that you are actually strong. We pray that you will become mature. I'm writing this to you before I come, hoping that I won't need to deal severely with you when I do come. For I want to use the authority the Lord has given me to strengthen you, not to tear you down. Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful, grow in maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet each other with Christian love. All of God's people here send you their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." So this is a tremendous farewell for now, but I'm coming, and when we come, we want to be able to come from the right perspective, not having to deal with a whole bunch of things to correct, but to be able to just reinforce your faith. So live out. Test yourself now. Examine yourself to see if your faith is genuine. Examine yourselves. Test yourself is what he's saying. And there's a variety of things, that components, I believe, that we see in this passage of Scripture that reveal whether one's faith is real or not, whether one's faith is genuine or if they have a genuine relationship with the Lord. We see some of those things like this when they're challenged on whether they can even receive correction. And I tell you what, that and the next one, I'll put that up too, that says we must always stand for the truth. Paul is declaring that, you know, as apostles, we've not failed to do what we needed to do, and that is to stand for the truth, even when that means that we have to correct you. And he goes on to speak to them about being mature. He says, we pray that you become mature. And I think probably one of the greatest signs of maturity is one who can receive correction. That's probably one of the greatest signs of maturity is one who can receive correction without just becoming defensive and saying, no, I already know what's right and what's wrong. You know, we always have to stay teachable people. I don't care how spiritually mature you become. In fact, I believe the more spiritually mature you become, the less you realize that you really know, the more teachable you are. I think it's one who's young in their faith that comes off as, you know, I got the answers. I'll tell you what. You know what's right, but to be spiritually mature is one who agrees with the scripture that says, "I know in part, I see through a glass dimly. It's not until Jesus comes that I know fully." I was in conversation with my daughter this morning that resulted from a question that came from Zach Gronseth last night. He texted me with a Pastor Stump question. I'm reading the first part of Job, and Zach. And he says, I'm reading the first part of Job, and Satan's there with the angels before God. What's up with that? I text back, good question. Stumped me. But no, you know, I happen to have some resources with some commentary, and you know, was just replied to him with clip and paste into an email of some commentary about, you know, what that's all up about. And I'm not going to go into that this morning, but I was in conversation with my daughter this morning. I said, you know, we try to understand some of these things, and I'm sure that when we finally get there and things are made clear for us, we're going to go, huh, I thought I knew something. I don't know nothing. You know, and that's not to say we can't receive revelation and that God, you know, doesn't reveal things to us and that we can know truth and we constantly pursue after that. But the reality of it is we need to stay teachable, and I think those who are mature will be able to receive correction. And we always need to stand for the truth. He goes on to say, live in harmony and peace. I believe that's another sign of maturity. We get easily offended with other people when we're immature, and, you know, it's just those kinds of things that he's encouraging when he says, test your faith to see if it's genuine. Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. That's part of it. And then there's this basically a benediction over them that I'm going to go in more detail here this morning. This says, may the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You know, if there's ever a verse that speaks of the Trinity, there it is. But, you know, I want to start out with going back to that aspect of maturity, and because that was one of the parts of having a genuine faith is becoming mature. It's sad to see when people have, you know, received salvation, and years later they're still very, very spiritually immature. It's not to be. In fact, we'll see that here, but. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And when we are there, beside that, 1 Corinthians 3, you know, I'll just make mention back of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I shared this in one of my messages where we were talking about cultivating a spiritual awareness and how the Spirit of God is given to us to reveal things to us. In fact, we'll go back to that verse a little bit later in the message from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But what a need there is for us to be able to receive spiritual wisdom. In fact, in verse 6 of chapter 2, it says, when I am among mature believers, I do speak words of wisdom, but not with the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world. There is a spiritual wisdom that comes to the mature. Among those that are mature, Paul says, I'm speaking that wisdom. But now look at the commentary regarding the Corinthians in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belong to this world, or as though you were infants in the Christian life. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You're jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you're controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? So notice what it says here. He says, I couldn't speak to you as to spiritual. In other words, you don't have the maturity to receive these things that I would speak to the mature. You don't have the maturity to do that. He says, here's the deal. You're jealous. You're quarrelsome. You're controlled by your sinful nature. Here it goes back to genuine faith. Those who have a genuine faith or in a genuine relationship are going to be at peace with one another. There's that part of spiritual maturity where you're not easily offended. And so you're able to receive correction and still be at peace, not jealous, not quarrelsome, not controlled by the sinful nature. Again, he speaks here, and that's my question, is there harmony or peace? That will really determine, you know, is there a spiritual maturity among you or in you? He described them as being still infants in need of milk and not solid food. You know, obviously we know the difference there with feeding a child. There's a point where, you know, when they're infants, they can't receive solid food. You don't cut off a hunk of your steak and feed it. I don't dare do that with my grandchild, Samantha. She'll choke, whatever. You know, you can't handle solid food when you're an infant. And he's saying, you guys are like babies when it comes to your Christianity. You're not spiritual. You're not mature. And so he says, there's things I can't even give you. I can't even share with you. And so that's a sad commentary. We don't want to have a relationship like that where we stay immature. Another passage of scripture that deals with that is from Hebrews chapter 5. If you want to turn to that passage with me, please. Hebrews 5 and verses 11 through 14. Kind of the same thing here. He says, there is much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So again, the commentary here, he says, you know, I'd love to share more things with you. I'd like to teach as though you were mature, or as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, you know, I speak wisdom among the mature. But he says, you know, there's so much I'd like to share, so much more I'd like to say, but you can't receive it. You're spiritually dull. You don't listen. He says, by now you ought to be teachers. You know, so this is not a word just to those with the gift of teaching, you know, one of the fivefold ministry gifts of teaching. That we're all to be teachers in some respect. We're all to have a place where we are having an influence on someone else in Christ, or, you know, in the world, where we are a representation of Jesus to other people and teaching them simply even by our lifestyle. Not always just a verse-by-verse kind of teacher. But he says, you ought to be doing that by now. You have been a Christian long enough that you ought to be doing that by now, but you still need someone to go back to the basics with you. That, people, is a sad commentary, but that's the reality of many believers when they have received Christ as their Savior, but not growing in Him, still like people of the world, or still spiritual babies, still just needing to be taught basics when they ought to be, we ought to be teaching others by now, he says. Okay, so that's sad. He says, you're babies who need milk. And then he goes on to say, solid food is for the mature. And notice this when it says, those who are using that solid food, verse 14, solid food is for the mature who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Those who are spiritually mature, those who are receiving the solid food of God's word, those who are being trained by it, are trained to recognize right and wrong. Now just think about this when you are making daily decisions in your life. Your decisions are based on what you determine to be this is right and this is wrong. If you're not trained in the scriptures or trained in the word of God or receiving, if you are still spiritually dull and not listening to what the Lord has to say to you in your life, how many decisions are you making where you think you're making the right choice and it's really the wrong one because you're not trained to discern the difference between right and wrong? How many times is life getting messed up for you because of poor choices? Poor decisions. And you can't just look at it and say, well, this is God's sovereign will for my life. He's given you his will. But if you're dull in your spiritual senses, you're not cultivating that spiritual awareness, then you can be ending up in a lot of garbage in your life that you would not have to simply because you're making choices you think is the right thing to do, but it's not. And so we want to not be spiritually immature babies only getting the basics. We want to be receiving the word of wisdom for the spiritually mature so that we can know those things that are given to us by God. We'll get there a little bit later. But so that we can walk in that revelation of what's right and wrong. And life will go a whole lot better. They always say, you know, life as a Christian, you know, it's never a rose garden. No, it's not. But I tell you what, you can at least have a garden that has order to it. You can root out the weeds of that garden. And that's when you find out, this is a weed. I got to get rid of this. This is not a good thing in my life. I got to get rid of this. You know, that's how we are trained by the scriptures to discern right and wrong. And we can have a much better life than we would have if we're just spiritually dull and not listening. Okay. So then fellowship with God. We'll go back to this verse, and you don't have to look it up, but we were in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and that verse 14 said this, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Just want to comment on the first two phrases there, where it speaks of the grace of Jesus. The grace of Jesus, and this does not do these two phrases justice at all, but I'm going on to the third phrase. So the first phrase is the grace of Jesus, and we know that we are saved by grace through faith. We also know that we are enabled by grace. Anything that we are able to do in Christ is because he has graced us to do that. Okay, so may the grace of Jesus and the love of God. The love of God is one of those absolutely foundational things. And again, I am not giving justice to the love of God in just this one statement, but nothing can separate us from the love of God. That is a foundational thing that we need to establish so much in our life. I think I've got this before the Lord, but I think I'm receiving direction for another set of messages regarding establishing ourselves in this solid foundation so that, you know, even all of your life can fall apart. Circumstantial things happening that maybe you do have some control or no control over. All of life falls apart, and yet you are so established in this that I know that nothing can separate me from God's love. God has not given up on me. God still loves me. And you maintain that genuine relationship with the Lord no matter what's going on in life. I've seen so many people become shipwrecked in their faith because they were not established in this that God still loves me. Things didn't turn out the way they expected. Prayers weren't answered like they hoped. And they give up their faith and say, God, he doesn't care. And see, we need to be established in this love of God. Nothing can separate us from his love. But then finally in that, it says, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. And that's where I want to focus, on the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. When we're talking about a genuine relationship with God, I want to talk more about this fellowship of the Holy Spirit and actually go to that word fellowship. You've probably heard of the Greek word koinonia. It's a phrase that's become more popular, especially with, like, you know, small groups, koinonia, fellowships, those kinds of things. But the definition I printed for you in your sermon notes, it's partnership that is literally participation or social intercourse or pecuniary benefaction. Excuse me, to communicate, communion, distribution, fellowship. So I'm going to focus on two things specifically there, partnership and communion. I guess I'm really going to focus on three things because I want to speak to the word here that's used, social intercourse. That term intercourse is something that is used most frequently. We think of it regarding the act of marriage, the physical part of the marital relationship, and something that is so intimate that it's what causes one to become one with another being. And that's why the scripture says, you know, save that for the one that you will be married with, because you become one with a person that you have such an intimate intercourse with that one. And I just find it interesting to see, you know, obviously it uses the social intercourse, but I find it so interesting that it uses that with the kind of relationship that we're to have with the Holy Spirit is to be so intimate. But you know, that's why we can go to the scripture and understand when it says that when we are friends with the world, we are committing adultery against God. It's our relationship with the Lord is to be so intimate that it's like to become friends with the world and become involved in the world's activities and things like that. It's like you're committing adultery against God. It's why also the scriptures say, and this is in James chapter 1, where it speaks about how the Spirit of God is jealous in us. I have it in my notes here. I'm going to read, or do you not think this? I said James 1, it's James 4, verses 4 and 5. It says, do you not think that the scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? It's like a husband-wife relationship. It is like it's to be that kind of an intimacy, whereas even the Spirit of God will have jealousy for us when we're straying off into other things. That's the kind of intimacy that we're to have with this fellowship with the Holy Spirit, this communion of the Holy Spirit. Okay, again, I'm going to focus now on the word communion, the communion of the Holy Spirit. And I want to go back to that verse only from the Message Bible, which is a paraphrase. And in that verse, 2 Corinthians 13:14, it says, the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. See the intimacy there? I love how it phrases that. The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. That's communion with the Holy Spirit. People, we're talking about a genuine relationship. We're talking about cultivating a spiritual awareness where we become one with God. That's how intimate it is. One with God in our relationship with Him. With that intercourse with God by the Spirit of God. Intimate friendship. Okay, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I told you we'd get back there. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 10 through 12. I want you to see something here that is a result of that intimacy. What benefits us as a result of that intimacy through the Spirit of God? 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 12. You know, back up in like verse 9, it says, that's what the Spirit means when they say, or what the Scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit, for His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Okay, see the level of intimacy that's going on here. Only God's Spirit knows God's thoughts. That's what it says right in here. Only God's Spirit knows God's thoughts. But what does the Spirit of God do? The Spirit of God reveals these thoughts of God. We have received God's Spirit so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Without this intimate relationship with the Lord by the Spirit of God, we'll not know those things that He's prepared for us. We'll be like those who, as it says in verse 9, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it has not entered our mind. Our mind has not imagined what God has prepared for us, because we're trying to perceive things in a natural, from a natural perspective. And unless we have cultivated a spiritual awareness, there's going to be all kinds of things that God has prepared for you that you're not going to perceive. So this communion of the Holy Spirit, whereby the Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God, and then He reveals those things to you so that you can know all the good things that God has prepared for you because you love Him. God wants you to know that. That intercourse by the Spirit of God is whereby the thoughts of God are imparted to us as a result of that intimate relationship, as a result of a genuine relationship with the Lord. How cool is that? So that was, you know, talking about this communion, communion, that the koinonia fellowship, communion with the Spirit of God. Now I want to talk about the partnership. That was also one of the words that was used in that Greek word koinonia, the fellowship of the Spirit, partnership. And partnership of the Holy Spirit. And here's a verse that I'm giving you just so that you can take note of what this word is meaning when it says partnership. In Luke 5:10, it says, his partners, this is speaking of Peter, his partners, and you see the form of the word koinonia in koinonos, where it's translated partners. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid, from now on you'll be fishing for people. Peter was partners with James and John in the fishing business. And when it's using this word, koinos, koinonos, or koinonia, for the Spirit of God in us, he's saying the Spirit of God is like a partner for you. He is a partner with you, a business partner, so to speak, in this bit of Christianity or living out your life in Christ. He is your partner together with you. And we're going to see in a variety of ways. I'm going to point out these ways. He is a partner in revelation. He is a partner in glorifying Jesus. He is a partner in developing you in your character. And he is a partner together with you in prayer. Okay, so let's look at those things. First of all, he is a partner in revelation. We see this in John chapter 16, verse 13. Made it simple for you in these next verses by just putting them on the screen. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. So what we see in that verse is he will guide you into all truth. That's the partner we have, one who will guide us into all truth. There's no reason, people, for us to be walking around in deception or for lack of knowledge or for a lack, I mean, other than, you know, as I already described, we know in part, we see in part, we got to stay teachable. But the reality of staying teachable is that you receive more truth. And the Spirit of God is given to us to reveal truth to us, to guide us into that truth, to tell us what he has heard. Remember, the Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God. So he's going to confer those things to us and tell us what he's heard. Awesome. He's a partner for us in revelation. And my question is, do you have ears to hear? Remember the comment to the Hebrews? You guys are dull. You're not. It's like you're not listening. Do you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is desiring to reveal to you? Well, I really don't have time to seek him, or don't have time to read the word, or, you know, but you've got all these decisions that are coming about in your life and daily choices that you're making. And don't you want to make choices with the knowledge of what's right and wrong? That's why the Spirit of God, he's given to us as a partner in revelation. Okay. Then also, a partner in glorifying Jesus. We see that in the next two verses in John 16, verses 14 and 15, where it says, he will bring me glory. This is Jesus speaking of the Spirit of God. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. See, the Spirit's job is to bring glory to Jesus. That's what he said. He will bring glory. Jesus' glory. He will bring glory to me. Jesus spoke of the Spirit. And he said the Spirit receives from Jesus who receives from God. Again, we have a pathway to receiving revelation from God. God reveals things to Jesus. Jesus reveals those things to the Spirit. The Spirit of God reveals those things to us. and it brings glory to Jesus. So you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to bring glory to Jesus too by what we receive by the Spirit. Okay, we become a partner together with the Spirit, or He is our partner in character in 2 Corinthians 3:18. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. See, the Spirit of God becomes a partner together with us to bring about change in our life, so our character becomes more and more like Jesus. The Spirit makes us more and more like Jesus. We are changed into His glorious image. And then again, we reflect the glory of the Lord. We bring glory, we bring honor, we bring praise to Jesus as a result of our lives being changed, as a result of that spiritual maturity, as a result of us walking in peace with one another, and as a result of us developing in our maturity so that we're no longer acting jealous and carnal and like spiritual infants. We're walking maturely. We're reflecting His glory. You know, it's like Jesus when He prayed to the Father, "Lord, let them be one, even as You and I are one, that the world may know that You sent Me." We're to bring glory to Jesus even by our unity. And unity is a result, really, of maturity. We aren't forever going to offend one another. I'm going to say things that offend you. I know what's going to happen. You know what you need to do? Not be offended. And same way, you're going to say things that offend me. You have. But you know what? I don't remember them. Otherwise, I'd tell you right now. No, I wouldn't. But you have said things that have offended me. But you know what I have to do? Not be offended. We have to live above that level of infantism in spiritual matters. We need to be at peace with one another. You know, that's how the Scripture is encouraging us to walk in that maturity and reflect the Lord's glory. Okay, and we are also partners together with Him in prayer. This is so awesome, people, how God, He wants us to be involved in prayer, and He gives us everything we need to do it and do it in an effective manner. Now, you might say, yeah, but I sit and I stumble through prayer. I don't know how to, yeah, I get so frustrated. But you don't need to, because God has given you something that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. I think I'm making you look this one up. Let me see if I... Nope, I didn't put it up there, so... You have to look this one up. Romans 8 and verses 26 and 27. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. See, we have absolutely no excuse for not being in communion with the Lord in relationship with Him through prayer, because we say, I really don't know how I ought to pray. He says, yep, I know. Here's some help. The Spirit of God is going to pray together. He's going to be a partner together with you in prayer so that you can pray effective prayers, even when you don't know what you ought to pray for. Again, we don't know how to pray as we ought. That's the truth of the Scripture. And I can say yes and amen to that. But it says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. He is a partner together with us. It says the Holy Spirit prays for us. And that is not, okay, He does the praying so we don't have to. It's like, oh, okay, the Holy Spirit prays for me so I don't have to pray. Go to it, Holy Spirit. You know what's supposed to be prayed anyway, so you just go do it. No, it's not for us in the sense of so that we don't have to. But it's, as the Amplified Bible says there, He goes to meet our supplications. The Spirit of God meets together with us in our supplications. And it is according to God's will. Remember the Scripture that says when we pray, we have this confidence that when we pray according to His will, He hears our prayers and we will have those things that we have asked. It's because we're praying according to His will. And the reason why we can pray according to His will is because the Spirit of God meets together with us in our prayers to pray according to the will of God. He knows the mind of God. And so He helps us in our prayers, even when we don't know how to pray. And He's given us just an awesome gift in speaking with other tongues. I mean, that's what in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14, the Amplified Bible really makes it very clear when it says, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays." See, it's not just me speaking, what someone might call gobbledygook, because it's not understood with the natural mind. So therefore, what's the significance? What's the meaning of it? Well, what's happening is the Spirit of God, who is speaking those words together with us, is enabling us to pray when we don't know how to pray as we ought. And through that, as it says, by the Holy Spirit within me, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. But my mind is unproductive. Well, so what? You know, sometimes we're better off when our mind is not getting in the way, trying to pray things out with our natural reasoning. We think we know how God should answer that prayer, and so we're telling Him exactly what to do. Sometimes you need to get that God in your head out of the way and say, you know what, I don't know how to pray. Lord, and more than just praying, Lord, be your will be done. I mean, that's an awesome place to start. But don't just say, okay, that's the simplicity of my prayer. Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, God will He'll connect, by the Spirit of God, He'll connect together with you to pray out the will of God, being a partner together with you in your weakness when you don't know how to pray as you ought. And what happens specifically when praying in an unknown tongue, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but it's the Spirit of God together with my spirit praying according to the will of God. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? So He is a partner together with us in prayer that causes us to be effective. So in every area of our Christian life, I mean, I've just touched on a few things that it made reference to in that passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that we looked at to start with this morning. I just made reference to a few things in there. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I made reference to a few things in there whereby we find out if we have a genuine relationship with the Lord or not. If it's a daily lifestyle kind of thing. And unless we have that, people, we are going to be walking in this earth spiritually dull, spiritually immature, spiritually unsatisfied, prayers going unanswered, and all kinds of things, making poor decisions because we've not connected with Him in a genuine relationship that He has offered up to us by the grace of God, the grace of Jesus, the love of God, and the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Don't take the short end of the stick when He has given you the long stick to walk through life with. It's like a walking stick, if I can use that illustration. God's given you a nice, tall walking stick to go through life, and here you are with a toothpick trying to find help along the way, trying to make your path steady, and it snaps on you. Ah, I should have bought a round one. They're stronger than those flat things. I hate flat toothpicks. I don't know about you, but they... See, you know, He's given you... to get your teeth clean, He's giving you a long staff, walking stick that'll never break. That's silly, okay. But the point of it is He's made a way possible for you to have a genuine relationship with Him that is a very productive, spiritually mature relationship, and you just continue to grow in that. You continue to grow in that. You don't live forever and still be a spiritual infant, just needing to be taught the basics again. So I challenge you with that. I'm going to conclude with just kind of a recap of this series of messages. I started out with you talking about living in the second story from Francis Schaeffer's book, Escape from Reason, living life on a second level and our mindset on things above. That's what the scripture says in Colossians chapter 1 or chapter 3, chapter 3, thank you, verse 1. It says, think not on things of the earth, but think on the things of above. And then we talked about the fullness of the Spirit. And we talked more about that today for leading and for empowering us to be witnesses. We had opportunity to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. Cultivating a mind of peace, where the scripture says to be anxious for nothing. We're to fix our thoughts on these things, as the scripture says. And I believe fixing our thoughts means fix as in repaired. Okay, I need to fix my thoughts where I'm thinking wrong. But also fix our thoughts as in focused. I'm continually fixing my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. We talked about being transformed by the renewing of our mind, changing the way you think to God's higher thoughts and ways. He's given us that. We talked about angels on assignment around Christmas time when we were seeing the story of so many angels appearing for so many reasons, communicating to God, communicating God's message to man, and perceiving God's servants to those that are saved. They are ministering spirits to them that are heirs of salvation. At the first of the year, I shared with you about opportunity awareness and really challenged you to stay open, be ready for the opportunities that God gives you, and your mind's ready for action to share the hope that is within you. And then last week, we talked about the spiritual forces of darkness and awareness of the reality of spiritual battle, that we are in spiritual battle, and standing strong with the armor of God and resisting the enemy firm in our faith. So we're going to have a genuine relationship with the Lord and cultivate that awareness of Him present in our life, His ways for us. Cultivate an awareness of the reality of all the help that He's given us by His angels, by the Spirit of God, who is our partner, who we can have an intimate relationship with. Cultivating that spiritual awareness by realizing the reality of the spiritual battles that we are in, but that we are overcomers in those battles. People, we've got everything going for us. Everything going for us. Again, don't come up short when it comes to your relationship with the Lord and you having an awareness of those things that are in the Spirit. Live on that second level, above these things of just this earth, perceiving those things that are from the Lord and all those things that He has created for, or that He has prepared for those who love Him. We've got it good, people. We have it good. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, I believe that today's message brings many of us to a point of decision. How am I going to live my life? What am I going to give my time and my attention to? Do I continually pursue after things of this world, seeking satisfaction in those? Or do I see something higher than that? And that I can live a life that is given to me truth and revelation whereby I can make good choices and live in the fullness of the satisfaction that presents to me. Lord, my prayer is that each one of us would examine our own lives to see if we are in a genuine relationship, have genuine faith in You, that are trusting You in all things, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.